Welcome, everybody, to Capes and Scowls West. Issue number 23. There's nothing really interesting about 23.
Nothing interesting.
I mean, you hit 25 and you get to rent a car. So,
like, yeah, exactly.
There's this dead zone between 21 and 25. That you're
Well, at least when you're 22, you get a Taylor Swift song. So.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. I forgot about that.
And then when you're 60, you're old enough to watch ultra porn.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, I'm one of your hosts, Nat, and with me, as always,
is Pat.
And Kat in a hat, finally.
This is true. This is the first time in, like, what, three or four recordings that you're actually in a hat.
Been pretty wishy-washy. We're all on the edge of our seats over here.
Yeah, you're like, she's going to come in with a hat today? No.
Yeah, it's Kat with hat adjacent.
Yeah. All right. Well, so, let's get into some news.
So, Marvel has announced with a one-shot cheat, Spider-Geddon.
I don't know what that is.
Yeah, I don't know that I care. Like that's more. Yeah. I saw another event type.
That sounds like just how I feel about the amount of spider people in the Marvel universe.
I'm like, I'm really excited for this new fresh start for Amazing Spider-Man, and the idea that there's going to be a crossover before the end of the year. Not excited.
Please tell me the premise is it's a new reader to Marvel Comics going to the wall for the first time and just being overwhelmed by the amount of spider people comics there.
It's just a one shot.
It's just a one shot of like. Just some guy like, why are there so many Spider-Men?
Who is this? Miles Morales, what?
Yeah.
But yeah, that's really all I have to say about that one.
Yeah, cool. What do you have for us, Kat?
We get Zombieland 2.
What?
With the original cast.
That's so awesome.
So I'm super excited because I love Emma Stone. Like,
I'm assuming mine is Bill Murray, though.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was thinking, like, it would be fun for Ghostbuster crossover to have him actually come back as a ghost.
Yeah, or if they had somebody else from Ghostbusters too, like Dan Aykroyd.
Oh, that would be really funny.
Like, instead they go to, like, Dan Aykroyd's
house.
It's
like, you're Bill Murray's friend, right?
Yeah. And he's just like,
damn it. But yeah. Apparently they're shooting for, like, an October 2019 release because it'll be the 10th anniversary of the original Zombieland. Nice. So that's all they can really say about it. But either way, I was like, all right, don't screw it up, and I'm ready.
Yeah, oh, that's a good movie. definitely looking forward to that one.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, sweet. Fun times at the theaters. What do you have?
Yeah. Well, speaking of good potential movies that won't be coming out for a while, Ms. Marvel, it looks like Marvel Studios is finally seriously talking about giving her at least an appearance in the Marvel Universe. Like, they haven't said whether or not it's going to be a solo film or just, like, her introduction.
I would really, really like, and I had these thoughts with the first film, is for her to be a student with Parker.
That would be awesome.
In a Spider-Man movie, and then, like, you can introduce her in, like, a series of films. You know, she can have a cameo in Miss Marvel. I don't know if that works.
In Captain Marvel?
In the Captain Marvel, excuse me.
Yeah. I was thinking about that. I could totally see, like a quick, like, super, like, subtle, like, her parents, like, in the 80s.
Mm.
Like, or something like that, and, like, her mom's, like, pregnant with her brother.
That would actually be really cool, yeah.
Yeah. And then, because it's definitely not going to come out until after Captain Marvel.
Right.
Like, or they're not going to start production on it. But, interestingly enough, I saw that Riz Ahmed actually tweeted about writing the screenplay for the movie.
That's kind of cool.
And he hit up Mindy Kaling and Kumail Nanjiani, too. He was like, yo, I'm all of this script. How about getting Mindy and Kumail on board with
me? What's the age of her brother?
Her brother is, like, I want to say, like, 5 years older, like, okay. 4 or 5 years older than her. He's in his early to mid-20s.
Damn. I was like, because Camille would be just a great Now that you say that, I'm like, I wonder how that will work. We're going
with it. I know, right?
But Riz Ahmed is part of the Venom movie, so he's...
Yeah, I saw that, so he's getting some pull. And also, I just really like him.
Yeah. Great group of actors and creators right there.
Have you ever heard his rap?
No.
His rap music? Yeah, he started off as a rapper.
That's amazing.
Riz MC.
That's awesome. It's actually really good. Rogue One is going to be so weird now. I know, right?
You're watching it, you're like, all right,
like, envision him in like the atypical rapper stuff while you're watching that movie. You're like, wait, stop.
I'm like, I want him to do a rap about Boar Gullet now. Like, that's it. Yeah. Kat, what do you think about the Ms. Marvel stuff?
I've never had essentially a cat in that fight with that stuff, mostly because I never cared for Captain Marvel because you guys said Space Cop, and I was like, out, I'm out.
Yeah, well, Ms. Marvel's the exact opposite.
Yeah.
Well, she's like down to street level, boots on the ground kind
of
stuff.
I don't really know a whole lot about her. I'd have to say it's one of those things that I'd have to look into it, and it's not DC, so I don't ever look into it unless like totally told to go and get it.
I will tell you, after reading just the first volume, it is one of the best written comic books I think I've ever read. It was like, it's just an easy, it's easy to want to keep going. So, I also think this is, I listened to something recently where they talked about the escalation of the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Mm-hmm.
And at this point in time, because of where we've gone with Infinity War, there's only really like two directions to go for great storytelling now. And that's to continue going cosmic and then to bringing it down to Earth and really having the low level.
See, and I thought they were doing more of a... That's what I assumed is what they were doing, is they're going to do movies more cosmic, and then they're going to keep, like, their series on the ground. Like, you know what I'm talking about? Like,
I think cinema needs to be on the ground as well, too, because you can't overwhelm your audience by, like, always giving them big stuff. That's true. It's like event fatigue in comics.
Think about stuff like Black Panther. Honestly, that's a pretty, like, localized, small story. Like, it all, aside from being in South Korea for that hot minute, it pretty much entirely takes place. Yeah, it's great. It pretty much takes entirely place in the one city in Wakanda.
Well, it's like Spider-Man Homecoming. It's very much a small film set in New York and then D.C. Mm-hmm. And I think Ms. Marvel falls into that same category where you can, you know, the only other pseudo-announced, because everything right now with them not officially announcing anything.
I think it's sort of on the table. They're probably just sitting there and
they don't want to spoil anything about Avengers 4. No. Like, that's the big
thing. I would love to see a type of thing in, like, a Ms. Marvel movie where every now and then you just get, like, a superhero flyby, like, while she's trying to, like, rescue kidnapped, like, children or something like that. Like, well, Iron Man just...
I was going to say
a giant monster or something.
Other film that's there in talks for right now is The Eternals, which would be, like, going completely the other direction. You're going full cosmic level. The gods that used to be on Earth that have left, and you know, Thanos himself is one of the Eternals, one of the race. So you have that level. Thanos. You go, you go there, Guardians of the Galaxy 3, and then you have Ms. Marvel and you know, Black Panther 2 and Homecoming. It's a nice split. You get like that far.
Yeah, or even like you said, to introduce.
I don't think
Homecoming
they have anything
too.
After Avengers 4 really right now, right?
They have nothing officially announced. No.
Yeah, and I'm thinking we probably won't get anything until either they decide to release the title of it or
Isn't Homecoming gonna be Homecoming 2 gonna be after?
There is the.
I think they're arguing with Sony a little bit, aren't they?
No, there's no problems with that. I think they're really just keeping everything close to the vest. Mm-hmm. Because there's supposed to be a Black Panther 2 sequel, but at this point in time, it doesn't look like Chadwick Boseman's got too much love to give for this property anymore. He looks pretty burnt out.
Yeah.
But, I mean,
we'll
set up
Shuri.
We'll
give him a couple more years, you know? You know, because it's been...
Speaking of Black Panther, and this is, like, the most upsetting comment I've seen all day. Like, so there's the article, and then there's the comment above it. So I'll start with what the article says. It says, future Black Panther movies could pass mantle. And then a comment above it says, confirm we could. And I was like, do you understand what confirm and could mean? Because this is already...
Yeah.
If you can't... No.
It's not news.
It's not really... Yeah, it's not... It's you're speculating because the producer said, oh, well, we could. Yeah. And I'm like...
Have you seen that picture of lackluster Chadwick Boseman during the Wakanda Forever salute? So he's just standing there, like, eyes half closed, like,
Well, I mean, like, we talked about this a little bit, that people are actually, like, calling him T'Challa and, like, bowing to him.
Yeah, and giving him the salute. In the street.
So I could see that getting old. But let's move on from this one.
I'm pretty sure I feel like we've talked about fandoms being weird. At least respect the dude. Like, learn his name. Dear God.
Right. So Cartoon Networks has announced and released, like, a pseudo-trailer for Thundercats Roar. It's a new animated series.
I'm hoping they can hear how hard I'm rolling my eyes right now.
So Thundercats had a relaunch in like 2011. And
yes,
it was pretty good.
Well, yeah, because it was the Young Justice. It still had that semi-series feel to it, but right. it had its comedy moments.
It had a tone and a style, excuse me, that was very similar to
the original Teen Titans.
Well, I was thinking American anime.
Yep.
So the stylistic approach that has an anime or manga aesthetic, but it is definitely like designed by American studios.
Yeah.
And this is definitely a reflection of like Adventure Time and Steven Universe being as popular as they are. The style.
Someone said I was looking at it, they had a point of Gumball. Looking kind of like Gumball.
So that's, and I think all of those things are they're sort of reflecting each other as the sort of. Yeah. Post Ren and Stimpy style.
Tonally, it's like a very like postmodern feel for like cartoons.
Yeah,
like instead of getting like traditional like story arcs, you just have like a smattering of events to pull like happenings.
It's from. And honestly, it's combining the model of the continuous storytelling with like Looney Tunes.
The only thing I'll say with that is I feel like. Since with the success of Teen Titans Go and it getting its own movie, that they're going to keep throwing these at us. And I'm just like, can I just have something that, is like tonally maybe a wee bit serious? Like, I don't know. And I know that's not how it is anymore, especially with Cartoon Network, which always just depresses the loving hell out of me.
Really watched like Adventure Time, man, that shit gets
dark. Steven Universe is super heavy.
It might just be because I get tired of the art style and I see stuff like that too, which is a huge possibility.
Well, with all that's like different art styles.
One of the things too, I don't know if executive producer or showrunner is the correct term in this instance, but he was talking about how action is really what brought him as a fan of Thundercats to it as a kid, and he does not want to skimp on that as well. So it's going to be an action-heavy show with this weird sort of, that post-modern aesthetic.
For some reason, it just makes me think of, the preview for Teen Titans Go. What are you going to do, irritate me with your waffles? And he, throws it on the floor and scoots it? No. I feel like that's the action I'm going to get.
Now I'm just thinking of, Lionel, sitting on a... a rock in the forest with like the cicadas going in the background,
the Thundercats thing that he says, and I'm like, I'm not doing it. It's too early for that.
I really enjoyed the trailer though. I was definitely not hype when the first initial announcement and seeing those character designs, but the trailer won me over because the animation looks good. And I think I'm missing that 2D stuff. I love Voltron, and I even just watched Batman Ninja, which totally changed my perspective.
I still need to see that. No spoilers.
What they can do now with CG to make it look like 2D animation is insane.
Really?
But anyway, this
is... Okay, so that's like the one thing, because I've watched certain animes where they use the CGI stuff, and it's like, it's completely... Number one, I feel cheated, and it takes me out of stuff, so...
This is definitely the promise that was delivered to us when Wind Waker first came out, and we're like, oh my god, you can do 3D cartoons. The Batman Ninja feels under that, but I think Thundercats. I'm interested. I definitely think this is going to be my radar.
I have usually a firm rule. There's only one thing that slides underneath. Well, there's a couple things that slide underneath it. One of them being 50 Shades movies and books because they're just god awful, and then Gotham slides under this rule. But I have to watch it to bitch about it.
Fair enough.
I'll watch probably the first episode and then decide from there.
Hopefully they're like nice 12-minute things and you can take them in good chunks like Steven Universe. What else do you have for us, Kat?
I have exciting stuff that I never thought was going to happen, but Batwoman's going to come to the Arrowverse. She's going to be in the three-part crossover that they're going to... I don't not three part. I don't know what they're gonna do, but they're talking about her showing up. It's a multi-part crossover.
Yeah.
So I'm super interested because I never thought I was. I didn't think she was popular enough to even really show up anywhere besides the animated movies. Like my small hope and dream is I was gonna get a Batwoman movie because her origin story is like fucked, and it's really interesting.
I would rather. I mean, another tangent here. I would rather get a miniseries on the streaming network.
That'd be dope. I could probably agree with that.
Give me like 12 hours of the content.
I'm not saying they go through and butcher characters in the CW. They like you have Barry Allen, who's literally a conglomeration of Barry Allen and Wally West.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I don't know a whole lot about Supergirl, so I don't really know her character too well and how she is. And then I think Green Arrow is like freaking Batman and
In
his series, so
well,
like
if you're looking for characterization, man, Black Lightning.
Yeah, Black Lightning is the best show there.
Just in general on TV today, I think that has some of the best like characterization.
So
actually, that's
the one thing that I'm curious about is how much they're gonna mess with her character and how much they're gonna mess with her costume, because her costume is one of like my favorite. Like she's my favorite Bat character.
I think it would be really easy to adapt to that costume, so I hope they do it justice. I really like what they've done with Valor, I think that's the character name. Supergirl's on again, off again. Mon-El.
Yeah.
I think the superhero name they used for it was Valor. I'm not sure.
I don't remember. I think I looked it up one day too. But that's like the one thing is I'm worried about her. I know too. It's one of those things of I know a little too much about this character to get upset about how she's portrayed in the CW universe. So I'm just like. Kind of like dabbing my toe in the water, and I'm like, it's weird.
I just hope it's good.
I mean, I do too. I think they're crossovers because they mentioned Bruce Wayne, I guess, in this last. I haven't been watching. I don't watch Arrow. I have to watch them. I have Flash and Supergirl, which is all I care about.
Black Lightning.
Black Lightning too. I haven't watched Black Lightning all the way through, but I don't know. I guess it's going to take place in Gotham City because they mentioned Bruce Wayne's name, which I was really surprised about because I'm like, those fun rights things.
Right.
So.
What do you got, Patrick?
I guess speaking of potential movies and stuff like that, they finally dropped the trailer for the Sense8 finale, mm-hmm. Netflix original.
It's like a 2-hour movie, right?
Yeah, so they're gonna do a 2-hour movie. It got canceled after the second season, and everyone was like, "No!" And then
it's like Firefly all over again.
Yeah, they were like, "Yeah, exactly." It's all those like great cult hits, mm-hmm. but yeah, Netflix was like, "It's too expensive, and not enough people are watching it." And like all
everybody's
the fans
like,
were like,
"Take the hit!
Yeah, one more!" Oh man, like. Just watching this trailer too, it's already got me being like, so when's season 3 coming out? Huh? Like, we're gonna get this 2-hour movie, and that's just gonna be an interlude to the next season. Like, ah.
So I have the question then, having never watched Sense8, after watching the trailer, do I need to watch the first 2 seasons, or can I go and watch this movie?
So I would say yes and no. You can. In general, the show Sense8 is just really, like, there's a lot of, like, action and drama that happens, like, in the plot, but the show really focuses on, like, the beauty and, like, the little things in life. So I think, honestly, like, if you go into it and watch it without going on, just watch it, like keeping that in mind.
Okay.
And you'll just be like, oh my gosh, like that's so beautiful. Like the cinematography is excellent. Like just the dialogue and the way people's outlooks on things are just like, it's really refreshing. Like mm-hmm. to see instead of people being like super gritty and bogged down and like all this stuff or like too like silly and jovial to just be like, this is what life is. It's beautiful and terrible and everything all at once.
Alright.
I would say since there's only 2 seasons to go ahead and watch.
How many episodes are in the season?
It's only like 10 or something like that. Yeah. They're not too long. Maybe 12.
The correct number.
Yeah, the correct number. So it's not anything crazy. So you can very easily go through. And I guess
I'm like sitting over here just thinking about anime.
There's like a Christmas special they did a while ago. So there's like two seasons and two gonna be two standalones.
Okay.
Go ahead, watch the whole thing. Christmas episodes, and it's probably because it's not Christmas.
I don't, because Christmas episodes just make me think of Doctor Who. If anybody else doesn't have anything, I just wanted to hit on the DC Universe, which is what they're calling the streaming service as of now. But they
I'm like slowly running out of money.
I know, right? When I see this lineup, that's the biggest thing, is like what everybody's reactions to the lineup is. So we have Young Justice Outsiders, which is Young Justice Season 3. I really love the tag Outsiders because it is the group that was led by Batman of the Misfits. So it's like Metamorpho, Black Lightning, Katana, and those three characters seem to be part of this series, as well as kind of the older crew with Nightwing. Yes. Yeah. And then there's the actual Young Justice team underneath them.
So kind of like they did in Season 2.
Everybody's seen Season 2, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. So I'm just really excited for the fact because we get Tigress, and I'm not going to say anything because I know someone in particular who listens to this will slap me across the face if I ruin it for them. Right. So
I want to see what sort of plot threads from the previous seasons get lifted and returned to, and whether or not like what Robin we have, you know, is it going to be Damian this time around? Or
Who was it? We were on
Tim.
Tim. Okay, we were on Tim. Yep. So I wonder if we're going to get some Red Robin action.
Oh, maybe we will. That's probably, yes. Okay, anyway. Titans, which is actually looking to be very based on the Marv Wolfman and George Perez run of the 80s Teen Titans comic, the new Teen Titans. Harley, the animated series, which I'm neither here nor there. I want the confirmation that Margot Robbie's doing the voice because it's kind of could be interesting. Doom Patrol.
I mean, if they got the original Harley Quinn, I'd be like, here, take my liver.
They're not going to.
No, I know.
Doom Patrol, Swamp Thing, and Metropolis. And those last three get me really excited because that means they're going real weird.
I'm pretty sure
we'll
be able
Why is Metropolis weird?
It's an odd concept. Like, just the right now, that's the one that they talked about of being, like, Lois and and Lex, like,
set it on
stuff.
Fire.
But apparently that series is being retooled, so it'll be interesting to see what that actually turns out to be. Swamp Thing and Doom Patrol, though, like, getting into like the Alan Moore and the Grant Morrison weird shit.
Yeah,
Doom Patrol, I probably won't be able to watch because I read the comic and I'm like, what the fuck?
Rumor is that they're in one of the episodes of Teen Titans. I think it's episode 8. It's just called Doom Patrol, and the rumor is they were so good, they went, this is going to be a backdoor pilot, and we're just going to go right into it for a new show.
Really?
Let's do it. Let's make this another show.
That was a really good episode.
They're probably going to put a stature warning
from the Titan
for
series.
Doom Patrol.
Oh, from the Titan series. I thought you meant from the Teen
Titans. In the streaming network, they cast a Doom Patrol to put in a Titans episode, and they were so good that they went, yeah, let's just make a series with these guys, too.
Oh, yeah.
They're probably going to have to put a seizure warning for Doom Patrol.
If they do it right, yes.
Yeah, right.
Last bit of news that I have is that the West Coast Avengers are coming back.
Woo!
You know, it's not like a namesake or anything.
No, West.
But this weird team of
there's not a banner up saying West,
right?
West.
The two Hawkeyes, Gwenpool, America Chavez, Kid Omega, otherwise known as Quentin Quire, and then there's an additional character I guess was introduced in the in one of the most recent Hawkeye series. So I think Circuit or something like that.
I feel like they should have what the heck is it?
Hawkeye.
What is it like? I can't, the clone of Wolverine from what's her name? I feel like
Laura Kinney.
Yeah, I feel like they're
clone, Gabby.
Yeah.
Honey Badger.
Yeah,
Honey Badger.
Honey Badger.
Oh my god, that would be so
I feel like
so
Honey
awesome.
Badger should be in there too.
Do you know what? This is supposed, like, the premise is that they have their funding based on a reality TV show, and I don't think Honey Badger would be okay for television. Although Quentin might be okay for TV.
That is true. And Gwenpool's okay for TV.
Okay, fair enough. I wonder
whatever,
how they're
she
work.
Can go into the comic and mess with the cameras to, like, undo something embarrassing
she
could just, if they have, like, a flash panel to the viewers at home, like, watching the show, she could just, like, stick her head and be like, hey.
I'm really hoping that she dislikes somebody because she could just, like, royally fuck with them the entire time.
I have no idea what this is going to be, but I was pretty excited when I saw the little
I'm really excited. Those are some awesome
characters.
I feel
like we have to point out, too,
as long as they
like,
get a good creative
what
team
is
it?
Kelly Thompson is writing.
Oh!
So,
gas.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why didn't you lead with that?
This is called West Coast Avengers.
So this is Kelly Thompson colon West Coast Avengers is what you're telling me.
Awesome. Colon. Well, do you have anything else, Patrick?
Yeah, I have a couple bits. They're all kind of quick hits, though. So I can kind of just quickly run through these. Joe Quesada, the Marvel's chief creative officer, published a open letter to Brian Michael Bendis saying thanks for everything. Just a nice sort of little farewell thing. I mean, I'm sure he got, like, you know, pretty, like, exit package from Marvel as it is. But, you know, but it's still just a nice little touch. So Gotham showrunner Bruno Heller wants to make Alfred Pennyworth solo series after Gotham is over, just titled Pennyworth, yeah, excuse me. And it's gonna be like a James Bond-esque show. It's gonna take place in like 1960s London, like Alfred's heyday back with Thomas Wayne.
Yeah,
back with Bruce.
He was in, like, MI6, right, or something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, something like that. He was in one of the, like, British secret services. And so it's going to be, yeah, his heyday and that stuff, which sounds pretty interesting. Gotham was not a very good show, but I'll definitely check it out. And it's going to be on the Epics channel, which I've never heard of in my life, so...
Yeah, cool.
So obviously doing really good. Yeah. Google
some things.
I saw... just the other day, Deadpool interrupted Stephen Colbert's monologue on The Late Show, which was interesting. It was an interesting premise. It wasn't very funny, I didn't think. Mm-hmm. But whatever.
Deadpool's doing really good in the box office, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'm still iffy on it, but that's the point.
I'm not going to see it right now.
Yeah,
I've been, like, flipping through spoiler shit all week, and I'm like, you know what, I'm not ready to see that movie yet.
Here's a bit of non-news. Inhumans was cancelled. Getting a third season, which I'm surprised it made it to two as it is.
Oh my god, it made it to two? I thought it died at one.
Are they calling, like, the first two episodes, like, the intro movie season one, and then, like... non-news.
Yeah, pretty much. Everybody's just
I misread those numbers, but yeah, it's cancelled.
I'm like, surprised. We're shocked.
The fact that there was an announcement is more surprising than the announcement itself.
Yeah, I know, I'm like, you wasted your valuable time and money, because everybody's like, oh, I just disappeared off the net. No one cared.
Yeah.
That was like an email correspondence for like five people that just kept spamming them. When is the Inhumans season returning? Like, never. Well, you're the one person who doesn't realize it's never coming back.
There's enough people out in the world that you know there has to be at least one person somewhere like, Inhumans, have any of you guys seen Inhumans yet?
This is true.
So good.
I don't know if I have people to talk to that person. I'd be like, I don't know if I can handle your opinions.
Like, we have to just have a serious discussion about plot.
This one's kind of a weird bit of news, but Adult Swim ordered 70 episodes of Rick and Morty.
I think it's because I'm pretty sure it's because you had how many nerds flipping their shit, and now they're like, there's 70 episodes, shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
That's a lot. That's... And because they do 10 episode seasons, so that's 7 seasons at least. That means this show is guaranteed 10 seasons.
I imagine that they'll adjust the season numbering at that point.
Yeah.
I mean, you think about the cartoons in the 90s were like 30 episode seasons, so I wouldn't be surprised if they just...
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah, if they're just like...
Here's a 25 episode season.
If they just do one season of 70 episodes that comes out every now and then,
I would hate to be on that animation.
That would be pretty funny. It's the quarter season finale. The one third season finale.
If that was one season and it was weekly, it would actually last longer than a full year.
Yeah, no, it would.
It would. You're right.
That'd be kind of fun. Almost a year and a half.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
Just a year and a half of Rick and Morty.
I'm pretty sure you're about 7 weeks off, too.
The year of Rick and Morty. It's Rick and Morty every day. Every day, Rick and Morty.
Oh, God.
And then my last bit of news is Marvel China finally announced its headlining titles. So we were talking about this a while back in this. Marvel Comics wanted to make a more anime-style push into, East Asian markets. And so they have the two main titles we have is the Warrior of Three Sovereigns, sort of like a college student with a magical sword fighting demons kind of deal. Cool. And then Cyclone, who is a architect with wind powers. That's the only thing I saw for some reason.
Okay.
She's like an architect by day and does wind things by night.
And those were the two.
Those
are the two that I saw, and those are the very limited descriptions of the two that I saw.
You know what I find interesting, at least, that they're building characters from the ground up for this. Like, it's not like Hong Kong Heroes.
The burning.
That made me ill, actually, watching. I didn't realize it was, anyway, but that's a conversation for a different time. But yeah, that's an interesting thing. I don't know.
Yeah.
I would like to see some, preview art and get a real description.
Yeah, I know, right? She's a female architect with wind.
Cyclone person at night. Cyclone person. Yeah, that's when the storm comes. I don't fucking know.
The storm is coming at night when the architects are off duty.
The crack of lightning. Okay.
All right.
So we are...
I just got the envisioning of, the Batman animated series.
Yeah, exactly, the intro.
Or some, I don't know. Person of color, person you can't really tell what color they are or anything.
A silhouette? Is that what you're looking for?
Thank you. I don't wear some things. I'm gonna go buy a thesaurus today. Maybe a dictionary too.
Nice.
All right. So no more news for either of y'all.
No.
So let's lead into our spoiler review of White Knight. Number 8, as well as kind of our overall thoughts of the series in its entirety, the 8 issues of Batman White Knight.
I want to know.
Hold on. 3, 2, 1, spoilery stuff. Okay.
Yeah, right? I want to know Nat's opinion of the last one.
I absolutely love the last issue. I have some... They gave me way too many questions that I didn't know I had.
You're like, God damn it.
There's some things I wish, I really wanted one of the main characters to die, but that's just because I'm dark in that instance. And,
death. I pray for death.
Right? And so I thought Joker would have been a good choice to just,
I mean, Jack Napier kind of died.
Yeah, but there was the question of how long was Jack Napier actually alive anyway.
Touché.
Mm-hmm. There was no answers to Jason in the final issue.
Oh, yeah, that's
what exactly
right.
happened there? So that's a good ground to cover the floorboard thing that Alfred had mentioned. That there's something in the floorboards of Wayne Manor.
Oh, yeah. That's at the very end. In that,
yeah, that was never. They never said what that was.
I'm like, you son of a bitch.
But how fantastic is it, the reveal of who the White Knight actually is, and then you go back to issue one and. We didn't really question why Harley was there.
Oh, yeah, why she decides to show up.
Because it was her plan all along.
Yeah.
And it's like, man, I felt good reading that going, yes, I didn't get that. I didn't pick it up. Makes me feel so
That's
good
true.
That you did something that I didn't realize.
Yeah, and because initially you just think that she's part of, it's the Joker's plan.
Right.
And that he called her in to help him.
And then you never really second guess it, and then you start seeing their relationship, and by that time you're just engrossed in what's happening, that you never really think about the fact, wait, she wasn't really tied to him at that point.
Yeah.
So that was,
Yeah.
So, and she developed the drug from her time as a psychiatrist to,
Yeah. Oh my god, I totally just got why she was on the Wisdom team. Anyway, sorry. that took a second.
Yeah.
But I mean, I enjoyed it. I'm not sure that this is the direction I thought the book was going to go in, but it feels interesting. It feels like an interesting jumping on point. I don't know if I want to see a sequel or a prequel more. Like, if I want to see more, like, Harley and Joker going nuts and kidnapping Jason Todd, like, is that story the one I want to see, or...
Yeah. Yeah, I just
want, like, a Harley Quinzel comic. I just want a one-shot of what she's doing now.
Just Harley White Knight.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, I've seen some things where people are pushing for, like, a sequel or something like that.
I don't think you can sequel which... it.
I see a couple of ways that you could go with the sequel. But I think that would be cool if Sean Murphy wants to do that for us.
Yeah.
He can. If he doesn't, that's also fine.
Right.
I think he told a fantastic story. And we were all nervous that this last issue would get Nightwing.
Nightwing.
Awesome. Oh,
the fact that it's a verb now is bad.
Yeah. Yeah, after Nightwing, New Order.
Superman
then,
just shows up all of a sudden and saves the day. You're just like,
oh, I would have lost my shit.
Yeah.
Like, you, I don't know that I would have been able to like, I can't express how upset I would have been at that.
Just unsubscribe all DC titles.
It would have been. I would have been close. I would have kept Batman because it's just like a point of, attention. Yeah, a point of attention now.
I think I personally, this issue, I was happy with it, and like you were saying, I was kind of expecting more from it, but like reading this and like, yeah, I was expecting some sort of more action-y kind of wrap up to this, like a more plot based wrap up, but like going back, this final issue is really more of like a thematic and like tonal wrap up to the like series, and I think he does a great job.
I have
like
to say
deciding
the most
to go
upsetting part to it too was like the when she's like, "Can you marry us before he changes?" And then that next page where it flips back to him, and I was like, "Oh God, you just see all the pain and the hurt all in one, and it's just so depressing."
Yeah.
So what did you mean by like a thematic end or like?
Well, so like thinking about this book, and then like thinking about it, especially like the Joker changing back right then, like. This book is really about, like, our relationships with other people and, like, how they help us define, like, ourselves. Mm-hmm. So, like, for instance, Batman's relationship to Alfred. Like, he's losing Alfred, so he himself is changing. Or Mr. Freeze's relationship, just in general, when he's able to bring Martha back, like, seeing, Marianne Drews, her relationship to the Joker, once that's taken away, you can see this in every single character in the book, and you know, Batgirl and Nightwing too here, also like their relationship to each other and to Batman, based off of all that stuff. And so I think especially, I think that's why that panel is the most hard hitting, because this is like quite literally like a visual and like personality, like showing. This is, like, pretty much the closest you can get to, like, showing the thematic statement of, like, a comic in the scene where Joker's grabbing Harley by the face and screaming, "I do!"
And then freaking laughing.
You know,
and then
yeah.
they have a shot of, what is it, Marianne Drews right after that, too.
Yeah, just in her cell. Exactly. And then, yeah. So at least that, for me, I really like this ending for those reasons.
That's a deep, like, I mean, I don't often pick up on that stuff, especially with a first read-through, but I could tell that I enjoyed it and I felt satisfied.
Yeah.
But you say things like that, and it makes sense as to why I was satisfied.
Dude,
yeah.
I'm just kind of happy that, original Harley Quinn whooped her ass.
Oh, my God, that's a, like, that was a visceral scene. Like, that was almost uncomfortable for me, because I felt like Harley had been through so much and was this really, like, this new version of the character who had returned back to being Harleen Quinzel, you know, and like that break is so visceral when she just starts stabbing her that
yeah,
it's like,
I know.
Fuck, yeah,
I don't want you to do this, because I want you to be like this voice for hope, and you know,
she's like, no, I'm gonna stab,
I mean, it's like, I'm stab right through the fucking flower, you know,
yeah.
like. Just,
yeah, that was
like,
that
you
was
fucking
pretty crazy.
Killed him. I'm like, oh shit.
Okay, what was your overall thoughts then?
Honestly, the fact that like I was really happy at the fact that she played such a like the original Harley played such a like integral like part into this entire story, and the fact that turns out Jack Napier is in The White Knight. She was.
Yeah.
Turns out she out-chest moved everybody. She whooped everyone's ass in that effect. And just, like, that made me really happy. I kind of want to say I did kind of want her to kill her. I really did. I wanted to see that break in her own psyche when she's like, I'm Harley again.
That final stab, where she's right before she gets interrupted.
Yeah, I was kind of hoping to see that. I'm so glad
that didn't happen.
I was kind of hoping for that mental break to see how that would take it, but she was stopped, so, I mean, you know, at the same time. But it's just, I thought it was good. Everybody was terrified that we were going to be Nightwinged again.
Yeah.
Why the fuck is Superman here?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He hasn't been here at all. But, I mean, that's the one thing, too, is the fun part is they actually took a real snide little remark towards the media, too, at the very end when they were talking about when he admitted to everyone on the recording what he did, and they're like, oh, see, I told you I always thought he was a bad guy, and I believe it's the same dude who was talking shit about Batman, like, 5 minutes before that, and, I think both sets of the media, both these people were talking the same amount of shit, and I'm like, that's a jab at our own media right there, just like, it's dip, dip!
Yeah.
So, I enjoyed that a little bit, too. So, I don't know, the ending, I was kind of surprised at what happened at the very end part when he took his mask off in front of Gordon.
So that definitely is a point that would be interesting for a sequel because, I mean, Bruce Wayne needs to be arrested.
Yeah.
You know, once that reveal happens,
he's
going to be responsible for all of the money that was funneled into that, you know, the disaster relief fund that turned out to be really a Batman relief fund. I mean, he, all of a sudden, the most wealthy person in possibly the United States, definitely Gotham, is your whole reason for this existing. And, I mean, how could you not, or, like, how would he not be in jail right side by side by Joker? You know, like, this is, like, that is a big question.
So, that was the big thing, too, is, like, he says, but most importantly, it's the only way you'll ever really trust me. And he takes his mask off, and I'm like, so, are we going to try and, like, appeal to the president to get him, like, forgiven? Because there's no way Gordon, as the commissioner, can't arrest him and put him in jail. So it's, like, more curious if,
well, I mean,
even, like, sequel-wise, we would start out with him going, like, his court proceedings and how long he's sentenced, and then maybe coming back into,
honestly,
into society to try and help.
The next page could be Gordon jumping out of the chair, putting his hand on his shoulder, turning him around and say, put the mask back on. Saying that this world doesn't need Bruce Wayne to reveal himself.
Or you could go the complete opposite direction. You could even have something like, because they are such good friends, Gordon, like, talks to the judge and gets Batman, like, a year in prison or something.
I think personally, he should probably
he drops all the keys, and so the Gotham Task Organization, the GTO, so they can go out and do, like, all of Batman's stuff.
Yeah,
that's true, and then you could actually, you know, his jail time could be a liaison/tactician for that. Like, so his jail is to be constantly on the premises, but he's, like, the guy in the chair directing all of these.
Honestly, what is it? It's like Batman actually, in all reality, does need psychiatric help, so he might be sent to Arkham.
But then that would be interesting, too, like, when he gets out of prison and they've been, like, you know, wrecking shit and taking names for, like, a year or two.
Yeah.
And then Batman's back and he hasn't been doing anything.
Yeah, like, what would be, what's
well,
the
I got
maybe
would
that would
what would that dynamic be? And Neo Joker's still alive.
That would be
so
an interesting, like, if
my
you
other
went
part of it, too, is I'm like, are we gonna Iron Man this?
Oh, yeah. you know, he becomes the public figure like that.
Yeah.
It would be really interesting to do, like, a 5-year time jump, and it's Batman getting out of prison for what had happened, or Bruce getting out of prison.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it's the story of Batman coping with a Gotham City that doesn't need him.
Yeah. Like Nightwing coming and picking him up in one of, like, the Batmobiles.
Yeah.
Like fresh out of prison or something.
Yeah.
You know?
That would be something I would want to read.
Yeah.
I do think I would rather read a prequel. But none of this matters without
the other part of me, too, is I'm like, I want to know what Harley, like, the original Harley was doing before all this. Like, I want to see when she left and her, like, finding a replacement.
The idea, like, set up for me would be that moment of, like, you intro and it's just Joker and Harley's, like, maybe after a year of being together. Mm-hmm. And it's the slow breakdown of Joker, and then the midway point of the series is when they capture Jason Todd. And you have that as your central element of the event. Well, yeah,
that's when she said she left, right?
Right, and then you follow her for the rest of the miniseries to what the hell happened to her in this time frame and the switch. And
I feel like ostensibly she's been working on that medication that she gave Joker. Because, like, she is a psychologist, but, like...
Well, the whole point of this comic, too, is what I don't think a lot of, like, a...
Creating a specific medicine from scratch... is a very difficult part by yourself, too.
I think the other part of it is, too, is this was shining a huge light, because I don't think people ever really realize Joker's real motivations, which is just, he's literally just obsessed with Batman. He's, like, an obsessive compulsive when he comes to it, and I don't think a general audience really realizes that. They just think that he's batshit, which...
Well, they definitely introduced
Nerdy Book number one here.
And a nerdy book that I've read is... The psychology of Batman, so it looks at, like, a psychological perspective of all the different characters, and they talk about Joker, and the guy who theorizes this is he actually thinks that Joker isn't crazy. He thinks that he's perfectly sane, but he just chooses to do what he wants to, which is possible, because antisocials, I don't think, are technically considered crazy. They're just dangerous.
Interesting.
So,
one of the things I want to make sure that I talk about is Sean Murphy and this whole, the book as a whole. There was this weird sort of reflection of Batman fandom.
Yeah.
And they, like, to the point of, it seemed almost like Sean was reconciling problems that he had with different versions of Batman in different media.
I could see that.
Because there's a lot of, like, it feels like the animated series, but especially this final issue or the final two issues, it's almost a retelling of the plot of Batman and Robin. Where Mr. Freeze... freezes the world, and then he has a cure.
Oh my god,
he has a cure for Nora that he's working on with Alfred, and so he's been working with Alfred and Bruce, and then they use his technology, and he turns good in the end to save everybody, and they even have, like, different Batmobiles going on ice. I'm like, this is really weird. Like, it's very much a...
I want to go home and watch it. It's an awful movie, but I just want to go watch it now.
It's a fixed Batman and Robin. And then you talked about the news aspect in this. There's a reconciliation of what we see as a culture on the news right now. It's this is wishy-washy, flip-flopping sort of, hot right now.
Well, and the other thing is, too, is that it's also a realization, too, because they never talk about necessarily the positives of what Batman has done. Has he gone off the deep end? Yep, totally, but they never mention, and that's our biggest thing with our own news media outlet, is it's a constant negativity stream.
Oh, yeah, I didn't think about that.
Well, but, like, another, like, going back to, like, the relationship piece, like, going back to the relationship piece of this, if you notice, like, all the people that are, like, closely connected to, I mean, this is pretty common throughout superhero things, but, like, the people on the news and people they're interviewing and people on the streets, those are the people that have negative views of Joker or Batman or whatever, for whatever reason, because they don't have a relationship with them. They're not personally invested into that person. They just see this one aspect of this one person, this one-dimensional character. You know, to somebody who doesn't know Jack Napier, he's just the Joker.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you know... I can say, like, Kanye West, but I don't know what he's like as a person. He might actually be, like, a really cool, like, chill guy to hang out with, like, one-on-one.
He's on point half the time.
You know, all I know is what I see of Kanye, like, from that thing. So it's very easy to, like, break people down into being heroes or villains.
I think even looking at it that way with some stuff is them also... the media actually being in such control of our opinions, and we don't even realize it, to be honest, because, you know, you had a point where it was like, yeah, Batman, and Jack Napier reveals it, no, and then it was like, no, not Batman, Jack Napier, stuff like that.
I think this is it's a reflection of the potential of that subtle manipulation. I mean, you yourself, you have to make that decision, or be conscious of what you are consuming, so... pretty big conversation there a superhero comic.
But. Yeah, right. Well, there's a lot of stuff.
I mean, I don't want to call it shit talking, but there is shit talking.
This is definitely one for me. I will get this in a trade paperback form as well.
Yep, I will.
Because I want to see background sketches. I want to deep dive into rereading
my other thing too. Is like I'm gonna put all these away and I don't want to crack them. So I'm probably also gonna get the trade paperback as well.
8-issue series where I've got the main and variant covers for each issue. So.
Yeah,
I do as well.
I was actually just thinking about that, so are they going to do like a two trade paperbacks and just have extended material in the back?
I imagine they just do one.
Yeah,
because 8 is just like slightly too many for TPB or
perfect. I'm hoping for a nice hardback one.
I'm still hoping for the Black Label release hardcover uncensored.
Ooh.
Batman White Knight plus promotional extra material. That would be my ideal.
Uncensored.
Yeah.
Well, no, that he's talked about it because he drew in the.
Because technically I don't remember what it's rated.
In the sex scene.
Yep.
Yeah.
He drew.
Yeah, because it's just rated.
Everything.
And then the dialogue bubbles.
Yeah, we'll just put it
very,
on top.
Very specifically placed.
Specific areas.
Which is honestly, what's funny about that issue is the next page, or the previous page is the one that's like. Too hot to handle.
Yeah, right.
When they're bar, not.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
I was like, damn.
So, are we running long? Are we doing?
No, we still have plenty of time.
So, I wanted to see if anybody from memory could think about what their favorite issue was from White Knight. Because my big question is, did anything in the series surpass the reveal in issue number 2?
See, 2 was my favorite because I had to spend like 2 minutes of what?
Yeah.
Hold on. Reread. No. Reread. No, read it again. Oh my god, what?
I think, for me, it might have been issue number 6. Was that the one with the big car chase?
Oh,
yes.
Okay.
Yeah, and then in the end.
Was it 6 or 5?
I thought it was 7. Oh, the car chase.
Yeah, car chase. When he ends up, destroying the bridge.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that might be as far back as 4.
Yeah, that was...
Oh, really?
Because that's when Gordon was, Batman's enemy number 1.
Yeah, I think that
I gave him a chance and he fucked it.
I think that for me was, one of my favorite comic moments.
Okay.
In this. Mm-hmm. At least in this, just because it, really shows, how fucking far Batman has, been broken by this stuff and, how completely insane, stuff's happening. It's blows up a bridge. And it's I think about that stuff when I watch movies.
Right.
When a superhero movies and they fly through and blow up all this stuff and I'm just this is gonna be crazy traffic for the next few weeks. Nobody think about that. And just
Right? How do you redirect everybody
in the whole
community? The main bridge for the city is just gone? You're gonna have to figure out a ferry system or something.
Right.
That's where Patrick's at, and I'm like, blow shit up!
I know. Well, I'm not saying don't blow shit up. I'm just saying,
I'm welcoming it.
So the way they did that in White Knight, when it actually is a big thing and they're like, he just destroyed the Gotham Bridge. What the fuck? Batman, what the fuck, man? It's probably a historical monument too or something.
Right.
It's historical, built in 1700 and I don't know. Yeah. Probably not, but
I'm
still,
thinking
like,
probably like 1900.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, yeah, I can see that because you're right. He just blows up a bridge, and it's that's
and then,
literally domestic terrorism right there.
Yeah, and then there was the tanker too of some sort underneath it.
Oh yeah,
it was like a shipping ship.
Yeah,
shipping.
I know exactly what you're talking about, but
yeah, the one with all the shipping containers.
Yeah,
the shipping container ship.
Isn't that where his car falls?
Oh, yeah, that's exactly what it is. The Batmobile lands on something and, There's a lot, this is... I don't often go back and reread stuff, especially in comic form, but I don't know that I need to, or that I can't. I kind of want to go back and reread all 8 again.
Well, the other part of it is, too, is I think one of the other big scene parts of it, too, is when you go back to his cell in Arkham, and he's just destroyed everything in there. Because that's a pretty big one.
Oh, yeah, that reminds me. Something in issue 8 was where Joker was born. They said something about his cell being, you know, he himself says, going back to the place Joker was born.
Uh-huh.
And that was an interesting, like, throwaway line, because, like, what does that mean? Was he still just, is he referencing that it wasn't until the first time he got captured and starts obsessing over Batman? Like, that's the birth, really, of the
Joker? From what I got out of it, it's that before he really went there, you know, with the, if we're taking this to be, like, the classic, like, comedian coming to the big city backstory.
Yeah.
Like, he was still a sane person, and I'm sure the first time he did a crime, like, it's the difference between somebody who does a crime and somebody who's a criminal.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And so I think, and a lot of times, especially in, like, The Killing Joke, we see that he was just somebody who did a crime.
Yeah.
And then once he's put into jail, like, that's where you become a criminal. Like,
if he was put in Arkham, wasn't he?
Yeah, and if you're put in Arkham, like, this is, like, the worst of the worst. Like, if you compare it to, like, jails in the real world, like, if you're innocent and you go into jail, you're gonna come out a criminal, more than likely.
Yeah.
Interesting.
You know, so, like, that idea of Joker being born in there, you know,
mm-hmm.
getting face tattoos and, you know, smoking crack with a crocodile.
Just comes out, he's got, like, ha 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 on his chest. I'm like, god damn it.
Like, the gold teeth and stuff like that.
Oh, god. Anyway. Talking funny.
We're in a good Joker in this story. I did like that laugh, though. That was really creepy. Any other final thoughts before we wrap this up?
I mean,
no.
Read it. That's all I've got.
Yeah,
really,
just read it.
If you can track down the individual issues, check it out. But I think this is going to be, like I said, a multiple purchase for me. So.
Mm. Oh, yeah, me too.
Nice. If they release it as an absolute edition, I have to have this. So.
Nice.
That's like, here, will you take a flip?
Oh, oversized slipcase version of this? Yeah, I can jam on that.
No, I mean, I understand.
All right, well, should we say bye, everyone?
Check you on the review side.
Yep.
Bye.